Now, more Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
We're going to talk NBA basketball here on the show today. We typically save these segments for Monday. I was out of the studio on Monday, so we got to push it to Wednesday because I always love getting my man James Holas on with us. He's an NBA analyst, fantastic at what he does, and we'll talk about how you can follow James and continue the conversation into NBA basketball in just a bit. But there is plenty to touch on as far as potential trade rumors, and we've already kind of dug into the Chris Paul deal. We don't have to dig too much deeper into that. However, I do have a question for James regarding the Clippers that we'll get into, and we'll talk about the NBA Cup. James, always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate the time again. Thank you.
I appreciate you taking the fall of the sword for this, but it's been me. I've been an NBA show deadbeat. I've been working. My boss keeps expecting me to work, which is the worst. So I've been I've missed the last couple a couple chats. So I'm glad to be on with you today.
Yeah. Oh, you know, life gets busy, right? That's kind of the way things work. But I know right now in the NBA it is extremely busy, and as you and I were talking about a moment ago before we actually hopped on the air, that fans seem to like the NBA Cup, more the casual fans, right? But the players seem to like it as well. You are seeing a little bit more effort out of the month of December. I think it stinks that we notice that, right? That there is more effort in the month of December. But as we get down to it, you know, you're looking at the final six teams at this point in time of the bracket for this Cup and the additional money that comes along with it. Going into year three, James, your thoughts?
I think me and you are in the same basket where I don't know. I like the novelty of it the first couple of years. Now it's like a zero sum for me. I don't really care about the Cup too much. I do like the fact that the guys are playing harder. Like, you can see it. I also like the fact, and this is one thing maybe they should introduce somehow into the rest of the year, that there's, hey man, point differential matters. So I don't know if they can finagle that somehow with the playoffs and the seeding or something with point differential, because I do like the fact that guys, even if they're up 15, are trying to go up 20. Like, it makes, you know, they're not, even though it's garbage time, it's not garbage time. So that's kind of cool. But other than that, yeah, I mean, and I'm saying this because my Celtics are already, I think, out of the running. I can't really get too excited about the Cup.
Tell me I'm not just that old man standing on his porch yelling, get off my lawn, when I say I hate the fact that we have to find incentive for guys to play basketball in December. Guys that are in the NBA. Like, James, I hate that. And I think that's probably my biggest gripe with the Cup, because, I mean, all in all, it's interesting, right? I mean, I wish it came with, like, an automatic playoff berth or an automatic play-in berth or something to that nature. I wish it had more long-term ramifications on the season. That may be my biggest complaint. But I think overall, that's what upsets me the most, is that, yeah, we need this, so guys, give a damn in December.
Maybe a little more forgiving than you are, because I think it's human nature, man. You got 82 games to play for a season. You know you only have a finite amount of kind of energy and mental capacity and physical capacity. So I get why guys would kind of pace themselves during the regular season, especially early on, right? I think we talked about it kind of a lot, how those first 20 games, young teams are kind of figure it out, older teams kind of ramp up. So the first 20 games are normally kind of a feeling out period for the rest of the season. And, like, that's kind of how it's been, you know, almost as long as I can remember. So I give them a little more grace, I think. But, it is kind of telling. You see how much more juice there are for some of these games. I'm going to say it's more human nature and kind of realizing their own limits. But yeah, it is kind of a damning piece of evidence.
As far as the Cup is concerned, and again, last night we had the Heat, Magic, Knicks, Raptors. Tonight we get the Suns, Thunder, Spurs, Lakers. I'm going to reiterate what I have said now over the last couple of weeks. It's something that you and I have said for the last couple of months. No one is even remotely close to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I think it's preposterous to think that they would not be the ones that not only win the NBA Cup, but at this point in time, barring a catastrophic injury, a team that will win the NBA Finals. I am so comfortable in saying that, James, and it's been a very, very long time since I've been able to sit behind a microphone and say, I'm about 99% sure this is the route this is going to go.
Yeah, gives us shades of Kevin Durant on the Warriors, right? Where,
yep,
obviously it's a little different. You know, the stars at the top aren't quite as bright, as far as KD and prime KD and prime Steph, but this team is, it's like something maybe we've never quite seen before. Sure, other teams have had depth. They have guys like A.J. Mitchell and Wiggins off the bench who would probably score like 18 a game on other teams, on a bad team. They're really connected. They're really talented. They play with a really high level of energy. It's like a perfect storm of talent, youthful exuberance, and coaching. They have a really good coach. And the front office has been amazing. So this, they are poised to really, really, really be like, I'm curious to see who's going to upend them when it happens. Knock on wood, I hope it's not injury, but yes, I'm with you. I haven't had this feeling of inevitability for a while in the NBA.
No, you got a team that is legitimately 12 deep, right? No one can really say that. And I did get a kick out of Rich Paul making the statement earlier this week, which I'm so sick and tired of the agent-driven agenda in the NBA, but he was talking about, no, the Lakers are not contenders. Yeah, no kidding, buddy. Guess what? Nobody in the Western Conference is a legitimate contender. I don't care if it's the Denver Nuggets. I don't care if it's the Houston Rockets. I'm of the mindset right now that nobody in the Western Conference is a contender because nobody in the Western Conference can beat this team four times in seven games. They cannot do it.
The only reason I have a little glimmer of hope for Denver is that I still think the Joker, and I'm pretty sure most people agree with me, he's still the best player in the NBA. We saw them go seven games with a hobbled Aaron Gordon last year. Now, I get it. OKC's even better this season through internal development. And, basically it. The young guys, everyone's so much a little bit better for the summer. They're still very hungry. So I'm with you, though. I'm curious to see what the end game is for Rich Paul, right? Because for him to come out and say that with the Lakers playing as well as they play, LeBron looking the way he's looked, Luka looking the way he's looked, especially Austin Reeves looking the way he looks, for him to come out and be so blunt, it's an interesting time. So I feel like it's a game of chess being played by Clutch Sports, and we'll see what the final end game is going
to
be.
All right, let's talk about Clutch Sports we don't really have to talk about Clutch Sports. I do want to talk about individual players. You just mentioned one a moment ago. I do want to talk about trade values, okay? Because I do believe we have some big-name players in the NBA whose trade value is basically non-existent anymore. And I think that these are names that teams would love to move on from. So you tell me if I'm wrong here as I throw these names out. Based off what you have seen, is there any sort of trade value hovering around LeBron James's name at this point in time in December?
Honestly, I'm going to have to say no. Just because, again, the unique situation. He's a free agent at the end of the year. I'm going to caveat that. So free agent at the end of the year, basically. He's working on it. He's at his age. We're in uncharted territory for how much wear and tear he can take. He still looks great. I will say, if the Cleveland Cavaliers keep screwing around the way they're screwing around, right? They have not. They've been sputtering a little bit, scuffling. I would not be super shocked, and let's start the agenda now. They package a deal around Jared Allen and a bunch of picks and whoever else, or maybe Garland. And they, not Garland, they won't do a guard. And they move, they move a pretty good-sized haul for LeBron James to go back to Cleveland.
My thought is he goes back to Cleveland at the end of the year as a free agent for a farewell tour, right? That's kind of my thought. And I think that we've already seen this. I don't think you can move him. I don't think you can. Based off of everything that you just said a moment ago, no idea if he would even play next year. I don't know if he physically will be able to play next year. I think he looks fine right now. But when you start talking about some of these injuries, arthritis, the sciatica, you start talking about some of these injuries, that's big for someone his age. I don't know if you can move him, but I do believe free agency, vet minimum deal, you go back to Cleveland, you play against your son, I don't know, Bronny could probably go with him, I don't know, play with him or against him one more year. That seems a lot more fairy tale-like to me.
I don't think LeBron will ever play on a vet minimum. I think, and this is not a bad thing I'm saying, I think his ego won't let him, right? Mm-hmm. He's second best player of all time, best player, whatever you want to call him. He will never play in a vet minimum. Just the other night, didn't he have 38-8 or something?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that, sure, we are in twilight years for LeBron. It's nothing like the twilight years for Mike or twilight years for Kobe, where he is still capable, I'll say probably 3 out of 5 nights, of playing at a very, very high level that few players can reach. He's not what he used to be, obviously. The athleticism slipped, but he's smart. He can hit shots. You play LeBron for 25 minutes a night, he'll give you 27-7, you got things around him. So I think the Cavaliers are actually in a position where they might be panicking a little more than they're letting on. They're not playing very well right now. They just lost to that that Warriors team with no Steph, Dre, or Jimmy, which is an embarrassment. I wouldn't be if they keep scuffling, I wouldn't be shocked. I would not be shocked if their front office is trying to engineer a big move and figure something out with LeBron James, because they're almost at the end game on both sides, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I say all this, the Lakers are 17-6 and in second place in the Western Conference, right? So it might be bullish for us to even be having this conversation right now. But that was a name to throw out there just because it seems like where there's smoke, there's fire. And you brought up Rich Paul positioning himself. It's I'm curious to see how this one plays out. Let's move on to another name. Klay Thompson. What does the trade value look like for Klay right now? The Mavericks have played better basketball, which is a relative term, but better basketball to where they were a couple of weeks ago. The injury bug has not been kind to this team. We know that Derek Lively is going to be out for the remainder of the season, and they are now open to trading Klay Thompson. I don't know what the value looks like. I do think that he could fit in on a couple of teams and give you maybe just a depth piece that can come in, but I mean, I don't know what the value would look like here on a guy that is his age, with his injury history, 35 years old, right, averaging 11 points per game, shooting, 37, 38, 36% from the field. I don't know what the value looks like there.
I can't believe I'm going to be optimistic about Klay Thompson. He's one of my least favorite NBA personalities. But I definitely think at $17 million to $2 million a year, I think he has pretty good value because he can still do a couple of things. He can still make wide open shots. At his size, obviously he's not the defender he used to be, but he probably gets bigger small forwards and smaller power forwards. He's still a viable defender. So I'm going to say he probably has a little bit of value for a contender. Let's imagine if Orlando just threw some salary together and some picks and got a guy like him, right? They need floor spacing. A team like even like the Knicks, right? It's not the hugest move. Obviously, it's around the perimeter move. 100%, he'd be very valuable there. What's another team out? There's definitely value in a guy who can shoot the way he does with his kind of pedigree. And $17 million, that's not a crazy amount of money. I think it's only for maybe two more years, right?
Yeah, he's got two more years on that deal, yep.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. And then, so I think, imagine a team like the Rockets. Mm-hmm. Could use a guy like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even the Spurs could use a guy like that. Vet, shoot shots. So I'm going to say, he might not be the most coveted, but I think he still has a pretty good cachet around the league.
What about Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, okay. That's tough because we already know about the – you're going to miss a ton of games. We know when he plays, he can play at a very high level and look like a top five player at times. I feel like this is the first time we've kind of seen it with him where the numbers look okay, but he's not really impacting the game. Right? He's got to dominate the game and draw a lot of attention, his gravity. I feel like now, and maybe the Clippers are just that bad, where he's just kind of scoring in a vacuum, and it doesn't really matter. So any team that gets him, and also, let's be real, the thing about the Pablo finds out stuff, like maybe that would make teams pause a little bit because they don't want that kind of distraction, that kind of circus around their team. So, yeah, that might be almost untradeable because he's making max money. Oh, not max. I think he's making 45 or 50 a year,
50.
Which is still
yeah.
a ton
yeah.
of money. I can't see a team that would really maybe toss a lot of money at him. I can't really think of one.
I think he becomes more of a valuable trade chip in the offseason when he's entering the final year of that deal, right? And it's still $50 million. So you say, well, final year, yeah. But I mean, if the Clippers really wanted to move off of that deal, it's a little bit more valuable on an expiring contract. I don't know if it's movable this year, although I would love to see a change of scenery for Kawhi because, boy, his career has gone to die in L.A. I think it's really easy to forget that before becoming a Clipper, this guy led the Toronto Raptors to an NBA championship. It's easy to forget that.
Well, I have one team, again, I'm going to name it, that might like a guy like Kawhi, and this would be amazing for, I think, most teams. It will never happen, and I'm not saying this is any kind of rumor started, even though it would be fun. Kawhi Leonard for Paolo Banchero. They actually kind of they free up the logjam they have over there because Paolo and Franz Wagner are very, very similar players, and they don't have a lot of shooting. And they seem to be playing better when Banchero was out. So you get him into the Clippers, which infuses them with a young star. You get a seasoned vet who knows how to win in Orlando, and all of a sudden the timeline would be greatly accelerated, but a huge cap chunk comes off after next summer. So that's, you know, you're taking a swing at it. So that would be fun. But otherwise, I can't think of another team.
And you're not saying you would do that, and you're not saying it will happen. You are saying that it would mesh is basically what you're saying there.
I would say they're both big salaries that would only take a little bit of tweaking to get it to happen. I was saying that, yes, it'd be fun to see. If you're Orlando, you think you have a chance. Why not shoot for it? So, but I just pulled that straight out of the thin air. I have no idea what that would look like.
I'm going to throw a trade name out there that I think could be a huge asset to a contending team. And it's not really a sexy name, and you and I have talked about this guy a couple of times just in passing. But looking at where the Chicago Bulls are at now compared to where they were at the beginning of the season, Nikola Vucevic, to me, has some massive trade value in today's NBA game, and I think in the right system could be a marquee move, right, for a team that is on the brink. And I think that might be one of the names to pay attention to, specifically in the Eastern Conference where, you know, we take a look at, it's not the West, right? I mean, you got Detroit at 19-5. Yeah, they look great, but the Knicks are hovering. Your Celtics have all these injuries, yet they've won 5 straight. They're 15-9. You've talked about the Magic. I just look at a guy like Vucevic and say, this could be a difference-making trade piece.
A lot like Jonas V in Denver, a lot like Steven Adams down in Houston. We have seen the depth of the center has been greatly exaggerated. There's still a role for the hulking center who can rebound and score a little bit. They're not maybe the main character, unless you're Joker or Sengun, but they're still, you know, very lucrative character actors, you know, supporting roles. So he would definitely help the team. I'm not sure what his salary looks like. Let me take a look while we talk. But, definitely a team like, let's say it again, Orlando could use a guy like that, right? Because they're, you know, Wendell Carter Jr. is okay, but, you know, he could definitely help a contender. I'm not sure what team, like, let's be real, Boston needs a big man.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I love what Nemias Cater's doing, but that'd be an upgrade. Now, defensively, I don't know how he'd work, right? And that's a big thing with Boston, their centers need to defend a little bit. But much like Klay Thompson, that's another vet guy who still, I think he has more in the tank than Klay, and he's proven himself. Like, his shot looks really good in Chicago. He doesn't seem to be very happy there, that young team that's really rebuilding, right? It looks like he'd probably prefer to be somewhere else. So that's definitely a name to keep an eye on.
I didn't plan on having this conversation at this length, but I'm actually kind of enjoying this. So let me throw one more name at you. We know he's going to get moved. It's just a matter of when. Jonathan Kuminga, where does he go?
Man, I really feel for the kid. He got drafted into a situation where he was never really given the full opportunity of a kid who was drafted 7th. He was never really given that leeway, given the room to roam. And now we're here. He's getting DMPs when Steph and you know, Dre aren't even playing. That doesn't make any sense to me, man. It's a cautionary tale when the front office and the coaching staff aren't in lockstep. But, I mean, the same two teams, I think, have shown a lot of interest, the Kings and the Suns. I think the Suns probably a little less likely now because they found some things and they're playing really well. But in the big picture, I think Phoenix would love to have him. Pair with Devin Booker, you got two devastating, super relentless kind of perimeter guys. Still need a lot of work there. And again, Sacramento, a team that's really going nowhere, that could use an injection of energy and some kind of excitement for the fan base. Even a team like Charlotte. Let's think about it. A team like Charlotte could probably put together a pretty good package. They got salaries. They need a jolt to that fan base. And, hey, LaMelo, I know it won't be for LaMelo Ball because I think he's kind of almost nearing his end with that franchise unless things change. He could use a new running mate. So there's teams that should take a swing on him. A team that's young and has some room to grow. Why not? Because he's a super talented kid. I think it's just he's been stunted a little bit playing Golden State.
We did a whole segment. We haven't talked about the hometown team of the Utah Jazz. Have you watched the Jazz play as of late?
Not of late.
Okay. I don't blame you. but if we're going to be talking about players being moved, I mean, I think I do think it's only fair that we bring up the idea of Lauri Markkanen, right? Because it's just a matter of time there as well. I don't foresee this guy wearing a Jazz jersey for an extended period of time moving forward. It just doesn't make sense to with where they're sitting right now.
So my thing with them, and I had the same question with Danny Ainge when he was with Boston, right? There comes a point, you know what double dutch is, right? The jump rope game?
Yes, of course.
Right. So somebody has the ropes going, and you see the guy waiting to go in, he's bobbing, timing it, and then all of a sudden it's been 2 minutes, and, hey, bro, you going to jump in or not? I'm just about to go. And so that's what like they've been doing in Utah, and that's what Ainge did in Boston for probably a little too long. He holds on to these assets, and he positions himself to make these great, giant moves. But then I feel like they almost talk themselves out, let's wait. Something bigger will come. Something better will come. And they've been in a holding pattern now for probably a year too long in Utah, right? You got to make some kind of move. Pick a direction and go with it. You can't just hoard those assets, and now you're starting to make these picks. And they're good young players, but some of these guys aren't going to be long for the future, or they're going to be good role players on a good team, but they're not your star. So you got Markkanen, who's a genuine all-star-level talent, and then a bunch of good, interesting guys. But what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you waiting for? So, I understand Utah fans getting restless. I understand. They've looked great in stretches, right? The Jazz looked great in stretches.
They have
moments. And then they have moments they look like a team that's, you know, waiting for the lottery. So such a curious case. And this is like, are you tanking or not? You can't have one foot in both worlds.
He is James Hollis, always kind enough to join us as we talk NBA basketball. James, a little bit more of an abstract combo today, but I like that from time to time. It's good stuff. Before I let you go, let's talk about where we can find more of you.
I have to say, like you said, you mentioned Boston, but you haven't mentioned them being third in the East. And
I did. Hey, they're 15-9. I'm gonna give you full credit for that. 50. I did not see this coming 25 games into the season.
Hey, take off the first three games of the season. We need a mulligan, so we'll say they're 15-6 since then. How about that?
Yeah.
But they've been amazing. So yeah, you can find me on all social media sites talking about my great Boston Celtics, and just talking life and making jokes. At Snotty Drippin, which is an homage to the great Scottie Pippen, so just look that guy up and come make fun of me on social media.
Look, I can't even say anything about Boston smacking the Lakers because, yeah, there was no Luka, but there was no Tatum either.
No, yeah, that was no Luka, no LeBron. Hey, we'll take it, though. A win is a win.
Take it. Run with it. Plus, you were happy about the beatdown at the hands of New York as well, right?
Hey, New York, Cleveland, we've had some really good wins. Jordan Walsh has been an absolute gem in the rough, and I couldn't be happier. They're playing much better than I expected, so go Celtics.
James, always a pleasure. Look forward to doing it again soon. Thank you.
You're the man, bro. Thanks for having me on.
We are out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Travis and I are going to be back here in about 30 minutes. We get Emory High School basketball early tip-off tonight as the Spartans take on the San Juan Broncos. Also on our YouTube page, Castle Country Radio Emory. We'll see you then. Be safe. We are out.